The sermon this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll start the reading at verse 16. First Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you and we rejoice that you continue to speak to us in your word, that you have not left us as orphans, that you have not turned a blind eye to us, but even this morning as we stop and we turn to you, you stop and you turn to us and you speak to us now. God, give us ears to hear, give us soft hearts to be conformed to your truth, that we would be strengthened and that we would be encouraged, that we would be motivated. And Father, where we need to, we would repent. God, be glorified now and help us as we seek your face. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What defines us? What defines you? Someone asks you, who are you or what do you do? In the culture that we came from, oftentimes sports defined us. The things that we would do, what we would wear, what we would say, how we would spend our time, how we set our priorities in place. I remember at one point, it was either a practice or a football game was scheduled for Sunday. And there ended up being this tension in my family between the coach and us. And I remember my mother speaking to the man saying, we can't do it on Sunday. And the coach actually said something like, you can either be a Christian here or you can be a football player here. There were only two options. What are you? What defines you? What will you do? We see here as Paul speaks, Paul's life has been an amazing roller coaster through the course of his life. In his life, he was in the place where he hated Christians, where he killed Christians, where he arrested Christians. That was his thing. And then he has been brought to the point of this change that we see here, where he actually says, I do all things for the gospel. That this is the reality of my life. We look through and we can see what he has done and where he has come to. He even has said earlier on, I have the right not to work. I don't have to have another job. I could just preach the gospel. He says, But, so no one can take my award away from me. But, so that no one can say he does it for money. No one can say he is a burden to us. He says, I even work for the gospel. He made tents as he traveled, so no one had to give him anything. Well, we look here, and we ask the question, what is right for us to be? What is it right for you to be? What does it make sense for your business in this life to be? The scripture talks to us and it speaks to us and it says, you are not your own. Now that's a hard idea for Americans. You are not your own, they say. When Jesus spoke in such terms to the Jews, he said, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. They said, we're children of Abraham. We've never been slaves to anybody. And it's like, wait, should we go through the list of people that you have been slaves to and under whose thumb you're under now? as we look at our lives, we might shout, I've never been a slave to anyone. I am my own. You imagine telling John Wayne, you are not your own. But Americans stick out their chest and say, I am my own. I am an island. I am self-sufficient. Well, we look here and we see that the redeemed life, that is that life that has trusted in Christ, the person who looks and says, I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. That looks like something. That looks like living for the gospel. Living for the gospel. Now, as you look at your life, and if you think back through your past few days, can we say we did that? If we look at the past week, can we say we did that? If we look at the past year, can we say we did that? If we look at the upcoming week, can we say I'm planning on that? To live for the sake of the gospel and for Christ. Well, this is the call for you to do it all for Christ and to do it all for the gospel. And we'll look at how we do that and how we make that a reality. Look with me now at verse 16, 1 Corinthians 9:16. For if I preach the gospel, what is this idea of the gospel? A few weeks ago, we had a handout about the gospel, and you were invited to look up a few passages. And with those few passages, the idea was that you could actually come up with a biblical definition of the gospel. What does that mean? Well, the first step that you have in your outline is know the gospel. That is, be certain of it. Be certain of the reality of it. Be certain of what it says. One of the things they had told us in seminary, that by Sabbath morning, our wives should be able to jar us at any point in the morning and say, what's your sermon on tomorrow? And you should be able to tell her what the sermon is about tomorrow. At any point in your life, someone should be able to grab you and jar you and say, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Well, gospel, as we translate it, it's a word that means good news. In different points in the scripture, we see it laid out that way. Acts 8:12 says the good news about the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news about the kingdom, that God's kingdom has come, that God's kingdom is advancing. It is the reality, the good news of the kingdom and the name Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the Christ, the prophet, the priest, and the king. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. It's the good news of the kingdom coming and that Jesus Christ does save. In Acts 13, 32 and 33, it says Jesus was raised from the dead according to the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Christ, though he was dead, is now alive. And that's good news for you, because if he was raised from the dead, we have hope. We will be raised from the dead too. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. I had mentioned that this fall I will have been saved 20 years, and my nephew chimed in. Saved from what? Was his question. Or Romans 5:9 tells us, being justified by his blood and saved from the wrath of God. Saved from justice and placed in mercy. I hope each of us will strive to be at the place where someone can ask, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? And you can speak from your heart explaining the good news of Jesus Christ, being rescued from God's wrath by Christ's sacrifice and having hope for the future because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So in the place for if I preach the gospel, if I announce the gospel, if I share the gospel, we move from there to our second step. And this is invite people to gospel faith. Invite people to gospel faith. It's not just enough. We haven't arrived if we just give a definition. I haven't arrived in my preaching if I just tell you something. But we're each being called to something. We go into all the earth, when Jesus spoke and gave the Great Commission, making disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you to the ends of the earth. The work of Christ was also the work of shepherd. He brought people along, leading them in paths of righteousness. Oh, if we look at the scripture and we consider what is the work of God that someone would be saved. In John 6, 28 and 29, it says it's to believe in him whom the Father has sent. This is the work that saves, that saving faith. So we invite people to the gospel of faith. Again, 1 Corinthians 9, 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. So our application for this idea is that we actually do it, that we actually proclaim it. Someone had mentioned the idea of wanting to be a missionary yesterday. And the question is, how can you be a missionary anywhere else if you are not a missionary here? Isn't it our work to proclaim the gospel? Now, the scripture in, I believe it's 1 Timothy 3:16, describes the church as the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Other places in scripture, it's described that we are to be a light shining on the hill. And what is that light shining on the hill? Are we just people that don't say bad words? To be a light shining on a hill, does that mean that we never smoke and that we never drink? Is that a light shining on a hill? Being nice, is that a light shining on the hill? Well, it can look like all of those things, but the true light of the gospel is Jesus Christ. John 1 tells us, he is the light that has come into the world. If we just stop at being nice people, if we just stop at being good people, we are being a god to ourselves. If someone says, you are obviously good, and we leave it at that as if we are on the podium or if we are on the stool or we are the one that they should be looking at. If we leave it at that, we're taking Christ's glory. We are not pointing to Christ Jesus. The work that we do in believing in him and preaching the gospel is calling people to a saving faith. Now, why? Why do you do it? Well, Paul actually lays out a reason here. 9:17, for if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. A reward actually present for those of us who proclaim the gospel. Well, there's some motivation. Well, if it's not for the reward. See, he says, if I do it voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. He's saying, I'm going to be doing it. I'm either going to do it because I want to do it for a reward, or I'm going to do it because I have to. The reality is, we have to proclaim the gospel. Why? Because our King has commanded it. He has commanded it. I heard one older theologian, he was in a class, and they were dealing with the idea that whoever, all the people that are going to be saved, God has chosen those people to be saved. And a professor was asking his students, well, why then would we proclaim the gospel if they're going to be saved? If it doesn't hinge on us, why would we do it? And they went around the classroom and they finally came to the last guy, and the guy shrugged and said, because God told us to. We do it because he told us to. Isn't that a good reason to do something? The King has told us to. So we invite people to saving faith. And we understand this is a command that we have no other option if we're going to live as Christians. If we are going to live as saved people. This brings us to our third step. Humbly invite people. Humbly invite people. Verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. This idea of being a slave. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. This past week, I ended up accidentally babysitting 9 children. And we were up here in the back, and I've made hot dogs. And I'm going back and forth, and I'm bringing napkins, and I'm bringing cups, and I'm storming back and forth, and storming back and forth. And one of the little boys, who was probably 6 or 7, said, excuse me, do you serve drinks at College Hill? And I'm standing there, I thought, what are you even talking about? Do I serve drinks at College Hill? Well, he wasn't from our church, and he assumed that he was at the College Hill congregation, and he's speaking to me, the waiter or waitress that's running back and forth, and wondering, will I bring him a drink, was his question. Well, this idea, do you serve drinks? And at that moment, I did. I did. I was the guy that serves drinks. And there's a saying, everybody likes the idea of being a servant until someone treats them like one. Well, here we look at the scripture, and Paul speaks in terms. He says, I'm a slave. I'm free from all men, but I have made myself a slave to all. If you're a slave to all, what does that look like? And why are you a slave to all? Well, Paul's describing it. He's a slave to all for the sake of the gospel. He can come to someone, treat that individual, an unsaved individual, and treat that person as if they are his master. That he can bring them the gospel and be heard. Now, oftentimes we look at the unsaved and we just shake our head. We look at the unsaved and we resent them. But here the idea is you come and you honor them in order to give them the gospel. This brings us to our fourth step, which is identify with the lost. Identify with the lost. Verse 20. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law. Though not myself being under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. Verse 22, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. Now, I don't know how weak you think of yourself. I don't know how small you think of yourself. In the context when you're dealing with unbelievers, do you look at them and think, I'm weak too? This idea keeps coming up in our Sabbath school class. We get to a picture where something good has happened, and our teacher, Mr. Wilson, he will say, and the credits roll, and they all live happily ever after. When I was looking through Genesis this morning, looking at the context of what was going on with Abraham, it comes through with Abraham, and he's given this great blessing, and the next thing we know, he's giving his wife away. We scroll through, and then, oh, there's the fight with Lot, and they divide. We scroll through, oh, Abraham gives his wife away again. We scroll through, and oh, now God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. We scroll through, and we just keep seeing travesty and trial, travesty and trial, travesty and trial. We look through, and we are called the children of Abraham by faith in the scripture. Can you look at Abraham's life? Can you see a pattern of your own life? Though you have been called out from a sinful people, though you give worship to God, you still see travesty and trial, travesty and trial, travesty and trial. God preserved Psalm 51 and gave it to us to sing for a reason. Because each of us will have to keep turning back to God and say, be gracious to me. Be gracious to me, O God, a sinner. We each will have to say again and again and again, sadly, against you and you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Again and again and again, we'll have to say, wash me and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. So as we come to the lost, as we come to those who are able to look at themselves, and they'll have their excuses and they'll have their reasons for not coming. They may say, I have a hard time believing that. And then we just shrug and walk away and say, pah, you have a hard time believing it. Or can we honestly say, I have had a hard time believing it too. I have had my doubts. I have had my fears. And this is then what God has shown me. Can we come to a person who is having a rough time? There was somebody I avoided yesterday because 2 days earlier they gave me a lengthy expression of their rough time. And when I saw them again, not at the church picnic, somewhere else, it wasn't you. When I saw them again, I said, oh no, keep driving, Leslie. because I did not want to be a party with their rough time, but in humility, when someone says, I have a rough time, we can say, me too. Me too. When someone describes their struggles, you can say, me too. I have been there too. And when someone says, I'm not good enough, we can in all honesty say, neither am I. Paul became all things to all people. This is the man who lived the gospel. Lived the gospel. Did everything for the sake of the gospel. And yet we see such a perfect humility in him. This brings us to our next step. So number four was, identify with the lost. And you see the dot, dot, dot. In verse 5, dot, 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 identify, but don't deny your king. 1 Corinthians 9:21. To those who are without the law, as without the law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ. What's it mean to be under the law of Christ? So Paul is saying, I am all things to all people. Does that mean he went out and got drunk with the drunks? It does not mean that. That is not an acceptable practice. Does that mean that he wallowed in sin with sinners? It does not mean that. But it does mean that he came to them and related to them. These things that are in your heart, these things are in my heart. These struggles that you have had, these are struggles that I have had. No, you are not good enough, and I am not good enough. Paul puts him in his own place when he says, I am under the law of Christ. And what is Christ? He's the prophet. That means he listens to him. He listens to Christ. What does it mean? Christ is priest. That means he recognizes the sacrifice that Christ has done, that is the atonement. And he recognizes Christ as king. It means he obeys him, obeys what God has said in his word. So we look and we do identify, but we are able to do it in a way that's humble, and we are able to do it in such a way where we still walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is still our identity. We don't give up. We don't slump. But we love and we speak in love and we speak in humility, this true gospel of Christ. And this brings us to our sixth step, which is strive to do everything for the sake of the gospel. Strive to do everything for the sake of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:23. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. How did Paul do all things for the sake of the gospel? How was that the reality of his life? Think about it. Well, he chose his job and he had a profession. He made tents for the sake of the gospel. He really did that. As you look at your life and you look at whatever your employment or your job is, can you say, I do it for the sake of the gospel? Children, can you say, I do my school for the sake of the gospel? I get up in the morning and I get dressed for the sake of the gospel. I go to my workplace or I go to my school. I do it for the sake of the gospel. We look at Paul's life. He traveled to proclaim the gospel. That was his thing. He traveled over land and sea to announce the gospel. Paul remained single in order to proclaim the gospel. That's a shocking idea for us in our culture, as it's put before us that getting married is man's chief end, and there you'll have it and you'll live happily ever after. That's not the case. Paul actually speaks in these terms saying to us, I would rather that you remain single so that you can be in the gospel and be a more faithful servant to Christ. We look at the gospel, and why would we say everything for the gospel? Everything for the gospel. Is that a right priority in our lives? Can that be right? Can that be true? Well, I'll remind you, when the lawyer came to Jesus and asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two laws hinge all the law and the prophets, saying this is the reality of what has been given to you, to love God and to love your neighbor. What does loving God look like? obeying him. Obeying him. And he has said, go forth into all of the world, making disciples, baptizing and making disciples, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. And the second law, which is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Would you love your neighbor? Would you love your neighbor and see them go to hell without having heard the gospel? So Paul speaks rightly, of course, as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit. Paul says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. I do all things for the sake of the good news. And is this a slavery? It is. But this is a good slavery. This is a good thing for us. Perhaps you've seen people tormented as they're lost or they can't find something. I'm a husband. I oftentimes cannot find things. And I find myself lost. And I'm going nuts, going back and forth, looking and never finding anything. And that moment when one of my children tells me, it's here, I'm relieved. I actually know where to go. I actually know what to do. Have you been lost when you're trying to get somewhere and you can't figure out where you are? Have you hated it? Have you been tormented by it as you're driving and driving and looking and looking? Have you hated it being lost? And someone says, this is how you get there and you arrive. This is that. This is that direction. This is that good news. This is telling you, this is why we get out of bed in the morning. This is why we read our Bible. This is why we pray. This is why we go to work. This is why we have family worship. This is why we come to worship. Because good news has been given to us. Freely we have received. Now freely we give. We live as messengers and servants in this world, doing it all for the sake of Christ and for the sake of his gospel. Pray with me. Our Lord, we thank you that you have given us good news, and you have not only given it to us for ourselves, but you have given it to us to proclaim and to share with others. God, make us faithful in such work. God, do not allow us to be complacent. Do not allow us to be silent. Do not allow us to be fearful. You have not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-control. God, be glorified as we announce and we plead with you to accompany the gospel proclaimed with your Spirit, that many will see and fear and put their trust in you, that you will be glorified as your church is added to, as your worship is added to, and we enjoy the blessing of living in faithful obedience to you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.